You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. It's Patrick Bexell from Europe, and I'm sitting here on the 2nd of July, a couple of days after the draft. And we have seen a very ugly view of some Montreal Canadiens fans. I would like to address this first, and I would like to say that David Reinbacher is an 18-year-old kid. He has trained and put more effort into training than most of the rest of us has done in our lifetimes. And we're in our 50s, some of us. He has been very, very successful. The draft day should be one of his best days in his life up until now. And I think that it's despicable to treat him like this. We are the fans of Le Club de Hockey Canadien, the Sans Flanel, Le Glorieux, Le Grand Club, Le Bleu Blanc et Rouge. As we say in Sweden, we're fans of a club that has many names because a beloved child has many names. Walking into the Cathedral of Hockey, Le Centre Bell, is special enough. I cannot even fathom how it would be to actually skate out onto that ice, to wear the jersey, to hold the torch, passed to you from falling hands, to be yours to hold high. David Reinbacher has gotten that torch from the past to the present, and now he is the future. We should welcome him. We should lift him up and make sure that he cares about the Montreal Canadiens as much as we do. I would like to paraphrase Bill Shankly a little bit, the great coach of Liverpool Football Club in the 60s. Some people think that Montreal Canadiens is a matter of life and death. I assure you, it's much more serious than that. And we should be proud that we think that way. But we should also remember that we should not treat others in a completely disregard for whatever we hold high. To compare David Reinbacher to one of the most heinous, terrible persons in the last 80 years of the world, because they are from the same country. It's so bad, I cannot really speak about it. If you want to compare Reinbacher to someone from Austria, you could have compared him to Mozart, Haydn, Mahler, Schubert, Strauss, when we talk about classical music. Some of my favorites growing up was Hermann Bühl. He climbed Nanga Parbat as the first one, the Broad Peak as the first one. Peter Habeler, he climbed Mount Everest, the first guy to climb Mount Everest without oxygen. And that is what I can only imagine David Reinbacher feeling right now. Prince Eugene of Savoy, one of the most brilliant tactical minds in warfare. This is the country that Austria is. On top of that, we have Ludwig Wittgenstein, we have Freud, we have Kafka, who's obviously Czech, but it was part of Austria at that time. I can only speak for myself, but I want to wish David Reinbacher the best for the future and a very, very warm welcome when he steps onto the ice in Bouchard today, wearing that makes us special, that fantastic jersey that we all see and think we're part of the same tribe. Be sure to treat others how you want to be treated yourself. Thank you for listening. I'm here today with someone from a neighboring country to Austria, and that is Thomas Rost. It was the 3rd of April. We did a podcast together in regards to David Reinbacher. We're sitting here with, you know, the correct answering sheet in a way, a couple of days after the draft. Thank you for joining me, Thomas.
Thank you. And first of all, I want to tell my deepest respect. Was very, very, very wise words from you about drafting and about the person David Reinbacher. And I was also shocked of some reactions from the fans on the social media channels. And priceless words. You detail very, very well.
Thank you. Looking back at the draft, were you shocked in the end that Montreal picked David Reinbacher at number five?
Not shocked, but surprised a little bit. Although I knew there was a lot of rumors that Reinbacher will go higher than he was on my list, for example. I was surprised, but not shocked. So let's leave it like this.
In the last few drafts, we've had a couple of defenders going higher than expected. It started a little bit with Moritz Seider. We have had Jiříšek and Nimeč, who did great towards the draft last year. All of them from smaller nations, hockey-wise, and countries that are not used to be mentioned when you talk about great development programs. Are there other similarities between those three players and David Reinbacher?
Yeah, similarities, it's pretty difficult to tell. David Reinbacher is a player on his own and not very easy to describe in terms of weaknesses or strengths. To compare it with his other defense, I have difficulties. I want just to tell that in my eyes, it's a quite safe say that Reinbacher will be an average to good top four defenseman in the NHL. It's sometimes you follow players where it's really unpredictable, high risk, and sometimes also high chance, of course. Reinbacher is one of the players I would bet quite a bit of money that he will be an NHL player. He will be a solid to good NHL player. I would put a lot of money on it. And probably he will be a top four defenseman. And from everything I know, I want to tell this to the whole community who listen to this, from everything, everybody I know who knows Reinbacher, and from the little I know him as a person and what I hear as a person, he is a very, very, very good person also. And this helps also to become, it's one small part of projecting talents. It helps if you are a good person, a modest person, a person who wants to learn, to improve all the time and doesn't think I'm now a Montreal Canadiens number five pick. I'm the biggest guy, the greatest guy on this planet. He's very modest, down to earth. This helps. And for all this, I think nobody should feel bad about taking Reinbacher at number five in Montreal. Although I wouldn't have taken him, and maybe we discuss this, or maybe I have a chance to tell why I wouldn't have taken him that high.
We've got to come to that, obviously, but you mentioned he's very level-headed. He mentioned he's very smart. We spoke a little bit about his development last time, and we had a trajectory. He adjusted very well coming up from the juniors to the Swiss League, which is the second division, obviously, in Switzerland. Adjusted very well to Kloten there. That was a top team who earned promotion that year. He adjusted very, very well into the Nationalliga, which is the top division, when Kloten was promoted this year. And as you put it, he was already the best defender in Kloten last year. That is a really, really good trajectory. And as you say, it helps being smart. It helps being level-headed. It also speaks to his hockey IQ, I would assume, because he will be able to take in what he's done right and what he's done wrong and what he needs to change and what he needs to learn from others. Can you see that progress for next year if he stays in Nationalliga?
No, that's a big deal of a problem, because his progress curve last year was that steep. I can tell you in my experience as a scout, in my more than 20 years experience now, I very seldom or never have seen such a steep development curve within 1 year. And it would be exceptional, and I can't imagine that it can go on like this. I think if he can consolidate what he achieved last year, this improvement, and maybe make some small additional steps, this would be already great. And I can't see that if it goes like up this like a rocket like last year, then I can crash all my rankings and my comments about him.
As we've heard, he's asked to stay or mentioned that he wants to stay in Switzerland to finish his gymnasium degree. That speaks also very highly of him as a young man outside the ice. And I know you put a lot of importance onto education, especially in Switzerland, when it comes to education in general in Switzerland. Do you think it would be a wise move from him to maybe play in Kloten next year? Or do you think he would be learning better going to AHL, where he wouldn't maybe get the top minutes, whereas he would probably get the top minutes in Kloten next year?
I think maybe the one or the other decision shouldn't be overrated. I think he definitely could develop pretty well if he stays one more year in Kloten. On the other hand, I also would like to see him to adapt to North American hockey, where it's a little bit rough stuff, a little bit more tighter space. And there are arguments for both. If I would be the Montreal Canadiens, I would probably prefer to come that he comes over to the and plays most of the season in the American Hockey League, maybe with a cup of coffee in the end in the NHL. This is what was my initial prediction, actually. But it doesn't hurt him to stay one more year in Kloten, definitely not, because there he has this role again. He, as you mentioned, he was number one defenseman by the end of the season already in Kloten, although Kloten doesn't have good defensemen, let's be honest. But he did take the advantage of this. And yeah, I think both ways could be beneficial for him. I wouldn't overrate the one or the other decision, but coming to an end, yes, if I would be the Montreal Canadiens, I would try to get him over.
You said you wouldn't take David Reinbacher at number five. Actually, when we spoke in April, you said that you would probably take Simashev before you took Reinbacher. Simashev is obviously left-handed. That was one of the reasons that Montreal went for Reinbacher. A big hole on the right side, being able to fill that hole. It's also a playing type that is very difficult to get hold of. And I think it was Johan Cruyff that said that everyone needs a very good right back in soccer or in football, as we say, Thomas, because that's where every play starts on the football pitch. It's a similar way in hockey, in a way. You want that defender that is very skilled in getting the puck out to start an offensive play. And that is something that we have seen with Thibaut Châtel and would listen to him that David Reinbacher is really good at.
Yes, I can see these advantages and I can see this point of view. And I agree, I'm very impressed also with this analytics from Thibaut, what always influences also my judgment a lot. But in the other end, it's also this analytics, it's also not the 100% truth. It's in German, we tell it's a scheine Genauigkeit, means a false projection. And a false projection is actually the wrong word. It's dangerous of a false projection. Although it influences me and it helps a lot to judge players and it's absolutely great work, but all these things, I put it together, the eye test, the experience, the analytics, everything put into the mix and the opinion of a lot of other guys I respect. And then I come to my judgment. So I can tell you, first of all, I did feel it's not good, number five for Montreal. And now I still feel it's not perfect, but I can understand it now more. And I try to explain it a little bit why. I can understand and follow the pick if the Habs drafted according to the need and not according to best player available. For example, Michkov, I did watch, did follow the roster. You have already small, highly skilled wingers. Cofield, you have Gallagher, you have Farrell in the pipeline. So why they should have Michkov, another small, highly skilled winger? They don't have a lot of right-shooting defensemen, so why they should prefer Simashev over Reinbacher? Absolutely correct. They have already Hudson as a smallish, highly skilled defense man in the pipeline, so why they should choose Sandin Pelikan over Reinbacher? From these points of view, I can easily understand they picked Reinbacher, but I still think it's a mistake.
We also know that they couldn't trade down because then he would have been gone.
Yes, that's true. But I also think that, for example, Willander is very close to Reinbacher and they would have chance to have Willander. I think Willander is a little bit underrated. But that's my subjective opinion. I can't really. And he also had a very steep learning curve in the very end of the season. Especially, I was impressed with him in the World Under 18 Championship in Basel and Aachen. He played very well there. So I did think these two players are very similar. That's why, in my eyes, if I would be a GM in the NHL, I would always draft. I would never draft in the first round for need. I would always draft best player available, because players are also assets. You can trade them and vice versa. And in this case, I would have had Michkov before Reinbach, and I would have had Leonard also before Reinbach. That's why I'm not so very happy, or I would be not so very happy as a Montreal fan. But it's completely overblown to be disappointed. He's a very, very good hockey player, and he will have a very good future. But as I told, I think the need played a role in the decision. And in top five, I always would try to go all in. The player with the highest chance to become a franchise player. And Michkov has this ceiling, definitely. Michkov has the ceiling of Bedard in my eyes. But he has also a lot of risk with it and a lot of disadvantages. But in top five, I always would go in, all in.
Looking back to Gorton's time with New York Rangers, he had problems drafting Elias Andersson a little bit high. Obviously, it didn't work out. Kravtsov with the Russian factor, and it didn't work out when he came over. We all learned from our mistakes. Has that been a part of that draft strategy?
Could be, but this is a thinking mistake we all make. We human beings often make. We overrate the result of what happened or what happens and happened compared to the probability of the results, what will happen or what happened. If you look back to a lot of decisions who maybe bad decisions, but with a good result, a lot of things happens in the world with good decisions and bad results, and we always tend to overrate then the result and not the probable result of the outcome. So coming back to your questions, probably in the back mind of Gordon, they played a role, absolutely, but it was a mistake, probably also. So sounds maybe a little bit arrogant if I tell this, but that's what I learned from life.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great. And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You mentioned when we spoke in April that Reinbacher is very well-rounded. He has a great composure. He's never in stress. His patience is fantastic. Yeah. His stick handling is fantastic. He has no real weaknesses. He might not have that super strength, but he does not have any weakness, as in Sandin Pelikas' case, yeah. Size. Yeah. Everything is good to better than good. You know, we spoke a little bit before we started recording this that puck watching and intensity, urgency on the ice, maybe it's down to his hockey IQ and his overall smartness makes him look a little calmer, and you don't get to feel that he's that included in the game all the time. Whereas he knows that he's included and he's just being on the right position at the right time all the time.
In a way, yes. But in a positive and in a negative way. The positive way, I completely agree that he is a game-thinking player, and he's always ahead of the plays. And he has also this calmness in a positive way, never stress attitude in a positive way. But there are some situations, especially in NHL, especially in NHL playoffs, where you have to lift your intensity level, your aggressiveness level in a positive way. And maybe it sounds now very bad, but that everybody understands what I mean. In some playoff battles, you have to lift a little bit your hate level to against the opponent to win these puck battles. And I think in this area, he could improve a little bit. But he's a very nice person, too nice sometimes.
But also, isn't that a way of being 18 and coming into a pro league?
Oh, yes.
That you take absolutely. The back seat and just do what you're being told and don't try to go overboard?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the big problem of drafting players anyway. You draft 17 and a half years players and they are raw in mental aspect and physical aspect, but especially in the mental aspect. And people are not finished with their personality and their thing until they are 25. And sometimes even a little bit later. So this is very difficult to project about kind of person, a kind of player intensity level, aggressiveness he will have when he's 25. Right now, he doesn't look as aggressive and intense as Seider, for example. But he's a level-headed player and a lot of positives.
Between we spoke, it was the World Championship. David Weinbacher obviously got injured on a really, really good play. And something that Thibaut has been very keen on highlighting, that it's the next step of his development to drive towards the net, be more involved in offensive play as well. Do you see it that is the next step that he's working on already?
I think yes. And that's why everything what I tell about Reinbach, I'm not very confident. Although I see him very clear his future. But as a scout, if you are honest to yourself, you never can be very confident. And I think, yes, this was one reason why he is not the top five pick on my list, because of this lack of high-end offense. But to be honest, maybe this is also because he is a humble person. He didn't want to be the ticket seller, the showman in Kloten. He wanted to do the safe things, what probably the coach did tell him. Not to be too flashy. And whether he can do this, this will be the future. I don't think he can. He will be that flashy offensive defenseman. He will be a solid two-way defenseman in my eyes. But I'm not 100% sure. He had shown some flashes of becoming maybe even much better offensively.
If you're going to have Lane Hudson on the left side, you're going to need someone that covers a little bit behind, playing a libero role, going back to football again, and the great Johan Cruyff. And maybe that can be David Reinbacher in that regard. Yes. So you're coming back to that, maybe that drafting for need, because you have Lane Hudson in the system, you need someone to partner him with, and you can't maybe trade for that person as well. You mentioned his qualities as a person. Do you think he's captain material or assistant captain? Is he a leader off the ice?
I think if you think about Nico Hischier, who is already captain in the New Jersey Devils organization, I think, yes, he's captain material. But he is not a captain who has his big mouth and smashes all the material in the locker room when something goes wrong or has big speeches. He is a leader by example, like a quiet leader, like a little bit like Nico Hischier I mentioned. And if you think this is a good captain, this also can be a good captain, then Reinbacher definitely can develop in such a personality, yes.
You've been listening to Thomas Rost. You should follow him on Twitter, especially if David Reinbacher stays, because you're based in Zurich and Kloten is about 20 minutes with a tram from Zurich station, right?
Yeah, from Zurich, but I live a little bit outside Zurich. I have to take the ferry first across the lake of Zurich, then drive maybe 20 more minutes by car.
And there you hear it. Eyes on the Prize, new headquarters will be Thomas' own island in the lake outside Zurich.
Definitely, definitely, for sure.
What everyone is saying in regards to David Reinbacher is it's very difficult to trade a right defender because everyone wants the good ones. He is a very good player. He might not be the superstar of the future, but he will be a player you keep on your team for 10-15 years if you can.
Agree.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.